Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress.
You'll spend 33% of this year on your mattress.
That's almost 3,000 hours.
Start sleeping comfortably on a new Serta mattress.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
With our lowest price guarantee
and our 100-night trial,
your locally owned Two Brothers Mattress is your number one choice in Serta mattresses. Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
Twobrothersmattress.com.
Let's get moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. With me today, Curtis Anderson. He's a faculty member of Arizona College of Nursing. And Curtis, thanks so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Heart health is one of those things we should be probably most concerned about in our lives, but oftentimes people just don't think a whole lot about it. So first of all, February is American Heart Month, so we want to make sure that people have all the very best information. Maybe we should start with, how do we make sure that we are doing those things that are the healthiest for our heart?
So the biggest thing that I can recommend to people in terms of heart health is the little things that I think that we've always known. When it comes to taking care of your heart, diet and exercise are really the biggest things that we have control over. Other factors that might influence your risk for heart disease are genetic, but quite frankly, there's nothing you can do to change your genetics. So the thing that we would recommend that you do is simply watch what you're eating and get a little bit of exercise every day.
What is the thing that most of us are doing wrong? We know that many of us in this country are overweight. We should be losing a little bit of weight. But what would you say is the biggest thing that affects our heart?
There's a lot of recommendations that go around that are how to lose weight quickly, how to do, lose that last pesky 15 pounds. Things like that, they might lose you a little bit of weight relatively quickly, but that weight will almost always come back. So what we should be doing is we should be looking at having rounded diets. And what I mean by that is that you are getting healthy fat. There's a lot of things that are marketed to us that are low fat or no fat. And some of those things are okay every once in a while. But really, one of the biggest things that I think is a lapse in American diet is looking for healthy fat.
So what would be some of those healthy fats?
So healthy fats are, the unhealthy fats are saturated fats. And when I say unhealthy fat, we still need some of them every day, but the American diet definitely has too many saturated fats. Instead, we should be looking at things that are unsaturated fats. Things that are high in unsaturated fat include olive oil, avocados for all of the millennials and Gen Zers, which is great. And a lot of nuts have a lot of unsaturated fat as well.
What would you say is the biggest misconception people have about heart health? Is there something we think we're doing right that isn't necessarily a good thing? You mentioned the diets.
Yeah, I think the low fat, because when we look at heart health, one of the first numbers that doctors or nurses will go to is your LDLs and HDLs. These are colloquially known as cholesterol. We've learned over the years that we don't care as much about cholesterol in foods as we once thought that we did. It was said for a long time that eggs were probably bad for you. Eggs are really actually probably not that bad. In recent studies, we've shown that high cholesterol foods likely do not affect your LDLs or HDLs as much as we once thought. LDLs are what we consider to be bad cholesterol, and those will go up as we eat worse fats. HDLs are good cholesterol. They take plaque away from your heart, and they are considered good cholesterol.
How often does someone suffer a heart attack? How prevalent are heart attacks in this country?
We have about 1 million heart attacks a year in this country. About 80% of those are a person who's having a heart attack for the first time. The other 20% is someone who's having another heart attack after they've already had one. And a lot of the symptoms that we associate with heart attacks are actually prevalent in only one portion of the population. There was a lot of research done, especially in the mid-20th century, that we learned about the chest pain, pain radiating to your arm, pain radiating to your jaw. And we kind of learned that that's what a heart attack looks like. But then as research went on, we learned that a lot of those studies were mostly focused on men and that women have different symptoms of heart attacks.
Yeah, describe for me how it's different for a woman. How do we know if someone's having a heart attack?
Hard thing when it comes to education in this particular topic is that there is a lot of different symptoms that you can have. I can list off six or seven of them. You can have really severe GI distress. So this is, I've heard people describe it to me as like having the biggest fart bubble that you've ever had in your life. Or you can have abdominal cramping. You can faint. You can just all of a sudden lose all of your energy. You can have the typical chest pain symptoms if you are a woman, but they're less prevalent. Or you can just feel, some people say, I just feel off.
So how would we know then when it's time for us to go to the hospital or go to the doctor?
Well, I would say, and I think this is probably the best advice I can give for any medical problem, if you feel like it's abnormal, you probably should go to your doctor. Trust your instincts, trust your body to know that what you are experiencing is abnormal.
Anything that you would like to add that maybe I haven't thought to ask you?
When it comes to exercise, I would just say that I would encourage people to do whatever they want. Exercise, I'm really worried about you raising your heart rate for a small amount of time so that your heart has some exercise. The way that you can look at it is that by you raising your heart rate, putting it under a little bit of stress, it kind of learns that it doesn't need to be as stressed out all of the time. It learns that it doesn't need to work as hard and put itself under as much strain, which will lower your risk for a heart attack.
What would you tell people are the top three things that they could do today to help reduce their risk of a heart attack?
Yeah, I think that the attitude that improves health the most, and especially heart health, is I'm going to do something a little bit better today than I did yesterday. I'm going to make a better choice today than I made yesterday. If we have that attitude, then it's a lot easier for us to say, you know what, I'm going to forgo having an extra helping of ice cream today for my heart health, or I'm going to go for a walk for half an hour to improve my heart health. And just doing little things like that every once in a while makes just such a huge difference.
Any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with?
You know, I worked cardiovascular health as my first job out of nursing school. And in nursing school, I was not very healthy. Nursing school is a stressful time for a lot of people. And I ended up gaining weight and gaining some really bad habits. I was, 25 at the time? As I worked with people who were in their 40s or their 50s having heart attacks, and they had these risk factors, they were doing the same things that I was doing. They weren't exercising. They were eating poorly. They couldn't not eat candy, things like that. As I saw more of that, I just knew that I needed to make some sort of intervention. So what I did is, like I said, I just want to make a little bit better choice every day. So I began to watch a little bit more of what I eat. I began to eat more vegetables with every meal. I began to find different exercises that I enjoyed. I learned in that time that I love tennis. Tennis is really fun. I also learned that I love running, which is something that I never thought that I would say. So I was able to learn things that I could do that I came to enjoy that also helped with my heart health.
Are there any resources, places people could go to find more information about heart health?
I would say when it comes to heart health on an individual level, you can go to your doctor and you can say, I want to know what I can do to improve my heart health. What will probably happen there is that they will choose to draw those labs I was talking about, LDLs, HDL, and see how you're doing. A lot of genetic factors play there, but a lot of other external factors like diet play into your LDL and HDL level. And that's a really good place to start most of the time. When I have my yearly physical, I ask my primary care provider if I can have those levels just so I know that how I am doing in terms of my heart health. By doing that at an individual level, you can know how you're doing. So far as like for the general public, The American Heart Association is a fantastic information on their website on little things that you can do to improve your heart health.
All right, Curtis, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My guest today has been Curtis Anderson. He's a faculty member of Arizona College of Nursing. And thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Make sure you check out all of the great health and fitness tips we have on our socials. You can find us at Moving Maria on Instagram and at Let's Get Moving with Maria on Facebook. Have a great day.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.